This is Caregiver's Compass, an uplifting podcast all about the ins and outs of caregiving for a loved one. Tips, tricks, true stories, and experts. It's all here on Caregiver's Compass. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Caregiver's Compass. My name is Stephanie Muscat. I am a registered social worker and psychotherapist. Please note that this episode is not the act of psychotherapy. Welcome to another episode of Caregiver's Compass. My name is Stephanie Muscat, and I am going to be talking more about my story today. We are doing this every single month, the first episode of the month. So if you've missed the last few months, take a look back. This is for our season two. And I wanted to touch upon my dad's reaction to everything happening. And the main thing I can think of is denial. And I do have his permission to talk about this. He's going to stay anonymous, and I understand why. But I am thanking him for allowing me to share, because I know that this can be a very common reaction, especially when somebody is pushing back and when someone gets a pretty early diagnosis, when they're very young. It can be very common, but it can happen anytime. And it can happen with all sorts of diagnoses, not just dementia. It can happen with everything. I've heard of this happening a lot with cancer diagnoses and family members, and processing everything from diagnosis to prognosis and even death. So I wanted to raise this today because this was a very hard experience for me and a very shocking experience for me. And I was very confused at the time. I didn't understand what was happening. And now I have a lot of awareness about this and insight about this. But at the time, I really could not comprehend why this was happening. And I want to normalize this experience because I want to say that this wasn't my dad's fault. He was not aware at all of what dementia was. B, he had his own trauma from his father experiencing Parkinson's disease and just knowing what, you know, the word dementia means. To most people, it means that you lose your memory and you just sit there and you don't talk. And so I think he was pushing against that because that was really traumatic for him. And he was still working, and he had a whole dream as to what his future would look like when he retired, and he was really close to retirement. So I think all of that played a big part, plus his daughter in her early 20s was talking to him about certain things, and he had me late. He is over 40 years older than I am. And so I think he really pushed back for all of those reasons. So it's not his fault, and it's not anyone's fault when they're going through this. And really, I'm going to start from the beginning when I started realizing that there was something going on with my mom. My dad and I have a very interesting relationship. Growing up, he was my primary attachment figure in the sense that he was the person I would go to if I was feeling upset. I have touched on this before, but my mom, because of all of the concerns with her brain, she was a little bit volatile, and I never knew what I was going to get with her. When I say a little bit, it really varied. Sometimes it was a little bit, sometimes it was a lot, but I never knew what I was going to get with her. And so he was always very stable, and he was the person I would go to if I was upset. He would always comfort me. I could cry to him. He would always come to me if I was sad, and he would hug me if I was, you know, crying in my bed. all the way from when I was zero to, I would say, a teenager. And then things kind of got different because I think he's like, oh gosh, the hormones took over. What am I going to do? And so things shifted then because I don't think he knew how to manage the changes as in me as a hormonal female. But up until that point, he was that secure attachment figure for me. And when I went away to school, we didn't talk a lot on the phone. He wasn't a big talker. He never called me. It was usually my mom. And he would call me sometimes. Or when I would talk to my mom, I would say, can I talk to daddy? And then we would speak as well. But he was always the person I would want to talk to or talk through things with. And I loved him so much growing up. He was that just... I was definitely a daddy's girl for sure. And so when my mom got sick or I started realizing things were unwell, he was the person I called to say, you know, something's wrong and I wanted his support and I expected his support and I expected him to be that voice of reason and comfort me because that's what he did my entire life. And I was so shocked when his reply to me was cold, angry, standoffish. He didn't want to hear about it. He didn't want to talk to me about it. And my dad's the type of person that if he doesn't want to talk to you about something, he says he has to go. And he doesn't deal well with emotions. He's very open about that. We talk about it a lot, especially considering what I do. He has a lot that he hasn't processed, and he was never taught how to deal with emotions as many of his generation are, and even, you know, in generations to come. And so he would just hang up the phone, and I would try to call him back, and I would say, why are you hanging up on me? Something's wrong with mommy. We need to get her help. And he did not want to hear it. He could not accept it. He could not talk about it. And he would not even listen to me. And I was so upset because not only did I feel like something was going on with my mom and my life was crashing down on me because of that, but I felt like the person that I always could go to and the person that always supported me did not have the ability to support me and was actually just shutting me down. And he would deny everything. And this happened for a very long time. When I say very long time, I'm saying years. He would deny everything to the point where I just could not talk to him about it. I gave up. I would notice things and I would argue with him saying, you know, something's clearly wrong in a kind of backhanded way, but he wouldn't listen. And I think it wasn't until he saw something with my mom that was very different on a vacation. I think she got lost somewhere, which was very unusual for her. And he came back from that vacation and he said to me, you're right. Something is really wrong. And I didn't see it until now. And I begged my dad to retire, to be with her. I think he had one more year left that he was going to work. And I said, you know, she needs someone at home, like she's struggling. And he wouldn't do it. And I think deep down, he knew something was wrong. And so he ended up taking a leave from work. I think everything was just too much for him to be with her. And I think being with her for that year really showed him that something was wrong. And he did retire after that year. But he could never come to terms with saying she had dementia. And even years later, I think she was first diagnosed in 2009. And my grandmother passed away in 2015. And after her funeral, we had a lot of my mom's friends come over. And my mom was very different. And I would tell these people that my mom had dementia. And they would say, oh my gosh, okay, I'm so sorry. And they would go to my dad and say, I heard that your wife was diagnosed with dementia. And he would say, oh, she doesn't have dementia. No, 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 that never happened. Like he would just, I think he thought it was this thing that he was embarrassed about. There was a stigma to him and he would never admit it. And it would always make me feel so angry because behind closed doors at that time, he was admitting to me that she had dementia, but he was still not able to tell other people that she had dementia. It's almost like he thought there was something wrong with him if he said that, or like it put some negative tag on our family. And I don't think he could come to terms with it publicly. And he had just started to come to terms with it privately. And to this day, if he realizes that there is something wrong with my mom to an extreme, like if she stops talking for months at a time or she won't walk, which is, this is her reality now, he will have days where I think he's trying to comfort himself and he goes back into that cycle of grief and back to that place of denial, and he will literally convince himself that she's fine, or not fine, but that she's doing better, which he knows very well is not possible. But he goes to this place because he's so upset. And if she'll have a day where she'll talk a little bit or she'll call his name, he'll tell me that she's fine again and everything is the same. And I have to bring him back to reality and say, she's not the same, because that hurts me, right? I mean, I'm losing my mom too. And when he says things like that, he doesn't realize that that impacts me, because that really, it's not grounded in reality. And I've, you know, spent a lot of time coming to a place of acceptance, and I'm very realistic about this entire experience. And when he says that, it's hurtful for me, because, you know, it's almost like he's lying to himself and he's telling me something and I've processed everything. And why are you saying this to me? And our relationship has changed drastically since that time. He's not really someone, to be honest, that I go to anymore for support, because him being in denial and him shutting me down for so many years shifted my ability to go to him for support. And it's fine. It's okay, because he was my support person growing up and that changes. But I've seen a different side of him, and I think I'm much more selective about what I say, because he's not in a place where he can handle these things. He's not in a place, he's also hurting and he's struggling, and he's, you know, he's in his late 70s. So he's not the type of person to go seek mental health support. He tried a few times, it didn't work out. And so he has his own stuff to process, and he doesn't do well with these types of things, and he knows that. And so I've shifted that too. But the denial doesn't end, you know, once they move past it. It's a cycle, and denial is a part of the cycle of grief. And he goes back there a lot, and he's much easier to talk out of it. He's much easier for me to call him out on it. But, you know, I don't blame him for it. But yes, everything is different between us. And it's taken many, again, this is like 13 years of processing and working through. And, you know, I'm in a very different place now. And, but yeah, it still happens and it doesn't end. And I don't think it's going to end even, you know, one day. And I'm realistic. One day my mom will pass away. And I mean, everyone passes away, but you know, if he's still around, he's not going to be realistic about it after either. And I think he's going to go through things a lot and have a lot of denial. That's just who he is. But yeah, so I mean, that is the circumstance of denial with my dad. And it can be very hard for any family member to deal with someone with denial, especially if you are the child of someone who is denying, or the sibling. So I spoke to someone the other day who told me that when their father was diagnosed with cancer when they were in their teens, their mother denied the whole thing. Again, no judgment to her. It's a normal cycle and stage. But her mother was her mom, and she relied on her mom, and all of a sudden she couldn't go to her mom for support, and her mom was no longer comforting her and guarding her. She was denying things. And this happens with siblings too. And it can cause so much anger because the person who wants to accept and say, no, there is something wrong, is like screaming from the rooftops for people to hear them. And they're just being slammed down, or it's made to be less than it is, which is such a horrible feeling. And this is common. So that is the cycle of denial that I experienced with my dad, and it is what it is. And that is the part of the story I wanted to share today. I hope you enjoyed this episode, and I'll see you soon. Thanks for listening to Caregiver's Compass. If you've enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review. Your ratings and reviews help more people like you find our podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and share this episode with someone you think would love it. I'm Stephanie Muscat. Have an uplifting day, and I'll see you next time.